Hello, everyone, and welcome to Note to Scene, a music news podcast covering everything from pop punk to metalcore. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where every week we discuss all the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notetoscene@gmail.com. So much to talk about this week. Big news from Parkway Drive and All Time Low. But first, we're going to talk about former scene kid turned rapper Post Malone and his new album, Beer Bongs and Bentleys. All right, let's go. I don't saw this, but so apparently it's a bunch of websites ran with this, but it's the 10-year anniversary of that infamous Pete Wentz photo where he's walking by Bruno Mars and Bruno Mars is like totally starstruck.
I'm
Did you see
pretty,
this like all around the internet?
yeah, it was such a massive post on AP. I'm pretty sure it was April 29th is the day that the photo was marked. Do you remember this photo like coming out at all? Like, was it a thing in 2008?
Yeah. Maybe not in 2008, but like in the next couple of years, it had sort of
Okay.
become a thing, like a consistent meme. But yeah, like Roxanne did an interview with Pete about it, which I thought was hilarious. Like, it's so funny because, it's funny in the photo that Bruno Mars looks so starstruck, and Pete points out, like, it's the last time, because it's taken in 2008, there's a timestamp on the photo. It's the last time Pete Wentz was ever more famous than Bruno Mars. Pete's coming off Infinity on High at that point, and Bruno's just kind of getting going. I don't even think he's had a hit yet, except for maybe the one with Travi. That's not even come out yet. I don't
No,
think that
that ain't
came out
even
till like
out
a
yet.
fact. Yeah, and so what's more funny about that photo to me is just how much of a fucking boss Pete looks like in that photo. Like, he looks like he's a runway model. Like, the way he's walking, it's just like the coolest I've ever seen Pete look. Like, it's like the perfect walk pose. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
Bruno just looks dumbfounded.
Right. Yeah, I mean it was the perfect moment to capture in the photo, but I'm pretty sure it
Just
was
like
Pete or
ridiculously photogenic Pete. Like, I don't understand like the way the photo was captured. He just looked like he was posing for like a Calvin Klein ad or something.
Right. It
Like.
was a total meme moment. Like that was pre-meme world, and that was a total meme moment. Yeah, it's really bizarre how that thing has developed a sort of a legacy behind it. I've been so busy. I meant to make my own one for the Note to Scene Facebook page for April 29th, and I was planning on doing it, and I just completely forgot.
Yeah, like
So
it's just great. Like a photo is worth a 10-year anniversary now, man. We're 10-year and
absolutely.
everything up in here. But all right, so real quick, what is going on with 21 Pilots? I don't want to spend too much time on this, but just before we get going, I know
What?
there's things out there, a lot of static, a lot of
Yeah.
electricity.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the click
Shit's
right
turning
now.
up.
I don't know all the specific details. I haven't done the dive, but basically, 21 Pilots sent their fans, sent the click down a wormhole, and of course, they're just ravaging every corner of the internet to find hints about new 21 Pilots. But long story short, there's a new 21 Pilots album on its way. I have no idea when it's going to get here, but signs say it's going to be soon.
We should start hearing like announcement first single, like
Right.
not that far away, like
Man,
within the next couple weeks,
I was hearing
right?
whispers that it was supposed to be this week. So, I mean,
Yeah.
that tells me like it is soon, man. It is soon.
Interesting they'd stack it up against the Panic album,
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they want the 21. I think the Panic album comes out when? Like in June, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm
I just.
guessing the 21 Pilots album will probably come out like September and they'll let it burn all summer.
If I'm Fueled by Ramen, I'd want that Panic album out before I
Separate,
launch my 21 Pilots campaign.
right. Gotta keep the longevity of the label hype,
Yeah.
man. That just makes more sense.
Quick bit of news before we get into the Post Malone album review. Our Facebook page recently passed 40,000 followers, or 40,000 people who like the page, and that's just really cool. Just wanted to say thanks to everyone for following us and caring about what we do.
Hell yeah. Thanks for engaging with our memes. That makes me sleep well at night.
Yeah,
So go
Tyler
share
Sharp is the
something.
bad scientist, yo.
Go share something. Go share something.
All right, into the Post Malone review. Post released his sophomore album, beer bongs and Bentleys, breaking first day streaming records, breaking all the records. And we're going to talk about it. Before we really talk about the album, though, Tyler, I know you are like a Post Malone scholar of sorts. You're sort of like a profiler. You've done the homework. Post Malone used to be an emo kid, right? And you've got dirt. And I want you to kind of explain to me, like, you know, how does Post relate? Because it's no secret it was a slow week for the music scene. Not a lot happened. Mm-hmm. So we kind of figured we should just go with this Post Malone album because, A, it's the biggest release of the year so far, pretty much. I mean, it's huge. Everyone's talking about it. And B, Post kind of comes from this scene. So, Tyler, I'll lay that out for us.
Yeah, so Post Malone's real name is Austin Post, and he grew up, he was a very, like, eccentric kid in high school. He didn't really abide by, like, cultural norms he liked to wear kind of outlandish things, and he went through a scene kid phase, and there's pictures of him, which you can go see on our Facebook page, go cop that meme, of him in a Devil Wears Prada shirt and an August Burns Red shirt. He was in a metalcore band in high school called Ashley's Arrival, and
oh my god, they covered, shouts to like the most scene name ever,
right?
Too.
Right,
Ashley's Arrival.
And there's video also on our Facebook page of that band covering Asking Alexandria's, I believe it's final episode, Let's Change the Channel.
I mean, that would be the song to cover at
right,
the time.
Right.
I mean, the fucking Rain video.
So time moves on. He goes to college. I'm not sure exactly when this lines up in his lifespan, but at some mm-hmm. point he tries out for Crown the Empire, and Crown the Empire turns him away. So just imagine
for a second
a world where Austin Post gets accepted in the Crown of the Empire and we don't get Post Malone.
Oh,
what
man.
A loss.
That is just a whole
what an L.
reality. I want to Rick
L.
and Morty that, like, and see that reality. You know, I want to go find out what that was like. But okay.
Oh man. So
the
yes.
album's out. We've been waiting for this one for a while. It's breaking all the records. Let's start, Tyler, with just our general thoughts on the album and where we are. And then we'll kind of go through this thing, bit by bit, piece by piece. We'll dissect this one.
Cool.
So what do you think of the album, Tyler Sharp?
I mean, I have a lot to say about this record. It is 18 songs, so anyone
Truth.
Would have a lot to say about
Truth,
it.
And but... I'm going to let you finish. You're going to get all the time you need.
Okay. So altogether, Beer Bongs and Bentleys is this story of success and the subsequent excess that comes along with that. And it's basically just kind of, you know, it's not this in-depth Pulitzer Prize winning thematic lyrical content record. This is very formulaic. These songs are meant to check off boxes, but Post spin that he's able to put on the current pop mold makes it so special. His voice is just ridiculously unique, and he always throws in that kind of signature vibrato that he's got within his notes, and it makes it ridiculously hard to cover these songs in Post form. So altogether, I mean, this album just pumps out banger after banger. I have a bit of an issue outside of the intro track Paranoid, kind of between Spoil My Night and Taking Shots, where like those first kind of tracks 2 through 5 almost kind of blend together in a way. And I wasn't worried when I first listened through the record, but I was just kind of like, okay, these songs are, this is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to check off boxes, but there wasn't anything that really stood out to me like the first chorus does. But as the album progresses throughout the second half, we get a lot more versatility from Post. We get an acoustic track, we get a bunch of emo ballads, and altogether, I think this album is just sprinkled out so well, and there's so much to like about Post as a... I mean, there are things you can dislike about Post, absolutely. Not taking that away from him. But I think that this album was exactly what he needed to do, and I think he delivered on 9 out of 10 accounts. So that's where I'm at. I'm at a 9 feel, out of 10 feel, on the record.
A 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
We need to get some air horns edited into this segment of the 9 out of 10. Holy shit.
This is that's a huge. Very high contender for album of the year for me. I just think the consistency throughout the entire record of these incredible hooks, these incredible melodies. It's a pop record at its core, mm-hmm. you know? It's meant to check off boxes.
Could be kind of a rock record, too.
In a way, and we'll get into the semantics of it. But altogether, I love this thing, man.
Okay. I was not expecting to like this album as much as I did. You know, Rockstar, I like that song, mm-hmm. but it certainly wasn't a signal, like, as to where this album was going. Mm-hmm. And Psycho, especially, you know, I didn't like that song. And to me, Psycho especially really sort of misled you from where mm-hmm. this album was going to go. Psycho is such like an apathetic sort of like melodramatic party, you know, luxury vibe kind of song. Mm-hmm. And that's really not what this album is about. This mm-hmm. album's like really, really emo and angsty. And I know he's not the best lyricist, but there's a level of depth there, you mm-hmm. know, that you just don't feel on a song like Psycho. So I am thoroughly impressed with this album as a post-skeptic. You know, I feel like we probably shouldn't really talk too much about Rockstar and Psycho.
Right.
Because they've been out forever. And we really shouldn't talk about Candy Paint because that song should not be on this record.
Almost a year now.
I mean, come on, man. That's like... Doesn't he say Stony on that song? Like,
that was
probably a B-side from Stony. You know, there's no reason just to game this streaming game. But I kind of want to go through some of the songs we like and some of the songs we didn't like before we kind of get into more of the thematics of it. So I'm going to throw some songs I like out there first, and you can agree or disagree with me. Paranoid, the opening track. I thought that was the perfect opening for this album. It's just like such an emo and vulnerable song. And that chorus where he says, can't get no relief. I mean, it's really moving. And, you know, he has that line in the song, like, he's not being tough saying he's going to shoot somebody who's going to break into his house, but he's saying, you know, one of us is going to die tonight because I'm not going to let you get me. He really is paranoid and having like a manic episode in this song. What did you think of Paranoid, Tyler?
I loved this song right off the bat. The hook is just the most ridiculous thing I've heard in 2018 so far. And I really think I struggle with the actual depth of this record, but I think putting it as the opening song was fairly strategic. I think because there's not another song that deals with paranoia on the record the way that this song does. Like, the rest of the songs are byproducts of being paranoid. And I think that paranoia comes from drug use, comes from success, comes from being famous, comes from all these things that he's garnered.
And his rise has been quick. You know, he's in this new spot.
Right.
He's in this new spot. He's not used to this whole stardom.
And I love the line that you mentioned. I do what I can, but it's out of my hands, struggling just to find my peace. Like, holy shit. I mean, that's life right there, right? That's the whole thing. And the rest of the album is just everything that leads to this anxiety that he depicts in this song.
And the way he talks about sleeping with a gun, you know, he's not talking about gun in the typical rap tough way.
Right.
Like, I'm going to shoot you. I'm scared. And if you try to break into my house, one of us might die because I'm so scared. I'm just going to start shooting. You know what I mean? He's not being tough about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought that was just the perfect opener. Another song I like, Taking Shots. Purely on an aesthetic level, I really like this song. I think it's a good party jam. It's a good driving track. It's a really good, like, moody, vibey song. Good for, like, going out and stuff. It's not like, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it sort of serves exactly what purpose it's supposed to be. And I really want to hear the Halsey mix of this song. Like, this is a total Halsey vibe song. Like, the way he sort of flows and through that sonic velocity of the verses is just a perfect, like, you could just totally hear Halsey on this song. And I want to hear that remix.
Absolutely. No, when I was listening through the album on the first time, you know, I got through Spoil My Night, Rich and Sad, and Zach and Cody, and I was like, okay, all right. And then Taking Shots came on, and it wasn't like the in-depth that we got from Paranoid, but there's just no denying that this is a banger. Like, the dude's flow in the verses on this song is so, like you said, the velocity of it. Like, he just comes and comes in that lane. And this is a banger. And like you said, it's fantastic to drive to. I've been listening to this song a lot, and I'm pretty disappointed that it's not getting the playlist push. Like, there wasn't really much placement on Spotify playlists for this song. And I'm a little bummed that it's probably going to end up being a deep cut.
It's a shallower song, but it's what it's meant to be. It's just a vibey jam. All right, another song I really liked, Over Now. Where are you at on this song, Tyler? Do you like Over Now?
So this song is really interesting because it has Tommy Lee on the drums on this track. And not that long ago, maybe like when did the X album came out, like a month and a half ago, maybe, he has a song on there placed almost exactly at the same point in his album that has Travis Barker on drums on a song. So I felt like there's some sort of, I don't know. I don't know if there's a connection between the two, if this is going to be a new trend in like hip hop records or anything like that.
Get the rock drummer, you know?
Because
it is. It's becoming a trend at this point. Right. Get the rock drummer on one song.
Right. Yeah. So I do like how this song kind of builds. Like, there's a lot of tension building in it, and I really like that in music. It starts off kind of, it's dark, man. Like, it's just this kind of minor emo-y type of ballad, but then it gets like super, super aggressive, just like that XXX song with Travis Barker.
Bring it back to X. Let's not bring a problematic guy into a problematic conversation.
For sure. But okay, I'm just saying, though, there's connections.
This is my favorite song on the record.
Whoa.
Love this song, dude.
Didn't see that coming.
It's interesting to me because, okay, so I love the way it builds, like you say, but this is the first point on the record where he just takes that chorus up to the next level. You know what I mean? Where he's saying, like, we got to go our separate ways. I'm not going to let you burn me down and all that. He just takes the chorus to that next level. And he just, like, elevates his vocals there. It's the first time where I was really like, holy shit, like, this guy might be for real, you know? Just the way he takes that chorus so high up there, it's just great. And what's interesting to me is, like, this is a breakup song. And, you know, Post has been with his girlfriend, Ashlyn, for a long time. They've been, you know, he brings her to interviews and stuff, so I don't know if they broke up recently or not, or if he's just writing a breakup song as a story. But I mean, this is a breakup song, man.
There's a lot of more moments on the second half of this record that we'll get to that convey the exact same message. But I think Post is just this, he gets it, man. Like, he doesn't necessarily have to experience it to portray what it feels like to feel that.
So, and I don't know what the status of him and Ashlyn and his girlfriend necessarily is, but I mean, I know they've had some rocky points where maybe they split. So maybe this was written during like one of their splits. But like, as far as last night, she was like promoting the album when it came out on Twitter and stuff. Right. So I mean, she's still with them as far as I can tell. But yeah, it's a breakup song. And I just totally like, you know, that meme where it's turn the volume all the way up, and the kid crying with one hand in the air singing. Yep. That's me for the song. Wow. Like, that's me for the song. And well, the one thing I want to point out, like on this song, and I noticed it throughout the record, but really on this song, particularly in that chorus, his auto-tune effect is so interesting and his approach to it. So, you know, you think of guys like Kanye, T-Pain, Lil Wayne, when they first started using auto-tune, it was the pitch correction error that, you know, everybody got stoked on. When you hear, like, somebody use auto-tune and their voice goes all robotic and sort of clunky, that's the pitch correction software not being able to keep up with just how out of tune they are. And that's a mistake. But, you know, hip hop sort of owned that as, actually, this sounds really fucking cool. So we're going to sing way out of tune all the time. You know, normally like a scene band or a Taylor Swift, because she does use autotune. When they use autotune, they're good enough singers and they sing within key enough that you never hear that pitch correction. You never hear that glitch out that you hear in hip hop. But normally when you hear that glitch out, when somebody does it, like Kanye or, you know, on 808s or something, or T-Pain on Buy You a Drink, you hear it's very like, it's like 12 chunks of the note sort of dragged out into a robotic glitch. But when Post is doing it here on this chorus, it's like 1,000 micro glitches 100 times faster than old glitches. So it sounds very like a vibration, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a way more organic, like, pitch correction effect that I found really cool, and it just really gives that the song that much more of a punch.
It really, like, again, I don't want to go too deep into the depth of this record, because at the end of the day it is Post Malone, and Post Malone doesn't exist to win Pulitzer Prizes or anything like that, but there's some fascinating aspects to this record, and that's definitely one of them. The way he's able to kind of mask these vocal techniques that have been used before, but he's got such a unique approach to it that he makes it sound like no one else does.
Absolutely. Where exactly do you, I'm not exactly clear on where you stand on this song.
I enjoy it sonically. I worry about the effect of the thematics of the song and how that's gonna be portrayed in popular culture.
Do you like this song?
I'm at a 7 out of 10.
Okay, gotcha. I'm at like a 9 out of 10 on this one. This is my big boy on the record. All right, let's talk about Better Now, Tyler, because we got to talk about Better Now.
We got to talk about Better Now.
This is, man. And you correct me if I'm wrong. All right. If you disagree, this is the obvious top 40 pop hit to me. Mm-hmm. It's got the catchiest chorus, just bumps and waves. Interesting, bringing it back to the emo thing. Like, there are very emo moments on this record, and you can almost hear Gerard Way screaming that chorus on, like, an MCR song. You know, if you just swap out the beats with guitars.
Hot take. Matt coming in, man.
You could hear G Way. Oh, you think you're better now. Like, it's just kind of in his whiny scream. You could so hear it. Like, Post knows what's up with emo. But, and we know he was an early emo kid. I think, you know, this is an early song of the summer contender, and I think it's the obvious top 40 hit push that's going to happen.
Yeah, we knew it right off the bat, first day, because it got the most Spotify playlist placement push. I mean, that had more streams than any other non-single on the album. So it was definitely obvious upon listening and seeing that this was the next push for Post. And the hook's just undeniable, man. Like, can't listen to this song and not get that stuck in your head.
It's going to go off. I mean, any club, it's going off.
Right? Club. I mean, it's just, it fits the current way. Like, millennials, the way millennials approach relationships and when they, you know, end badly and breakups and... he just conveys those emotions so well throughout this record, and another
breakup song.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Half the fucking record's a breakup record. It's like, right. What?
He gets it.
Yeah. So, what are some other songs you like, Tyler Sharp?
So now that we're into the second half of the record, man.
Your specific highlights, a couple.
I want to point out Other Side, because unfortunately, I kind of feel like this might become a deep cut as well. This is just a dark pop song, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it kind of walks the line of an emo ballad, but this is, you know, like, this is a Halsey song. This is an early Halsey song. And I thought it was just so interesting to hear him kind of relax, and he laid back, and he served the song so well here. He wasn't trying to sing out of his ass. He wasn't trying to do all these different vibratos and bring everything all over the place. Some other songs in the album he does in appropriate places, but like for this song, he just served it so well. And the song is just, it's such a vibe, man. Like, it, don't listen to it when you're going out, you know. This is not your party song. But I feel like this is such a strong point on the record that shows his versatility. I really like it.
I think you're right, though. This is destined to be a deep cut.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's just not going to get the attention. And it for me, this was one of the more boring moments on the album.
Really?
And I don't know if that's just because the rest of the record is so turned up that
when
we get to this more mellow, chill thing, it just, you know,
it was
forgettable for me.
Okay.
Compared to
some. So I want to hear what you have to say about Stay, then, the song that comes right after it, which is the acoustic Post Malone song we've all been waiting for.
I do not like Stay. I would like Stay better again, and I hate to do this, but if this was Gerard Way screaming this out on the next MCR album we never got, like, that would work.
The
you know?
Hot takes keep coming, man.
But
so what you're saying is that Post Malone needs to co-write the next MCR record.
Absolutely. Like, if you have Gerard Way sitting there on an acoustic guitar like this could totally be from the MCR album we never got. But and I don't mean to keep bringing this back to MCR. That's the last time I'll do it. But yeah, overall though, right, I really don't like Stay. God, that song really annoys the fuck out of me. How about you?
Really? Why does it annoy you?
I don't know, man. It just does. He just doesn't fit in that song for me.
Man, locally. Like, he just watching him go viral by covering Bob Dylan just on acoustic guitar, yeah. And watching, you know, different songs.
It's not
songs
that he's bad at guitar songs to me. It's just the specific melody.
For sure.
Doesn't work.
But I feel it. He takes a lot from like those kind of more classic rock artists that he likes. You know, like he loves Bob Dylan, Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know, there's a lot of old school guys that he listens to and appreciates and is inspired from. And I feel like that kind of is able to bleed out through this song. And the fact that he's able to do that and get not only see like success from it on a top 40 pop hip hop record, but make it sound so well and so put together. It's just like, it shows that as long as you're making bangers, dude, you can experiment as much as you want with your music, you know, and it's still gonna take off. I've seen so many high profile artists, like Khalid already tweeted out a video of him covering this song live.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, this song
it's fucking everywhere, man.
It's doing well. It's just not for me.
Fair enough.
Another song I really like is Blame It On Me. I really like just the darkness of the song and like the elevated long chorus with just this menacing voice he's using a vocoder over his vocals, mm-hmm. and it just sounds great, man. That song just really gets stuck in my head. It's kind of like a more sonically sinister version of Over Now.
Totally. Yeah, no, I really do love this song, and just the nuances in his vocal approaches, man. Like, no one can replicate, like I would like to see anyone on the top 40 charts cover this song and try to replicate
like
it, man.
He's using a vocoder to sound like a demon in the chorus. It's a really just, interesting take on vocoders.
Totally. Sinister is a great word for this song. It's just very ominous and it's very brooding
it
in nature.
Bumps too,
and, yeah.
Like it bumps
yeah.
in the car and you're like, this is fucking great, man.
Yeah,
like,
this was definitely a standout moment on the record.
This record's just a good time. Any other songs, particular faves?
I'll just finish it out. 92 Explorer. I'm pretty sure this is post Latin Pop take. I don't know if it's gonna go anywhere. Right, ish. Yeah. I don't know if it's gonna go anywhere. I thought it was really fun to see him try to do it. And you know, I don't think it's banger nation status, but like, he successfully executed it. Like, it's a solid track, I think. And the closer, Sugar Wraith. I think I
have that listed down as one of my favorites.
So the chorus melody reminds me a little bit of Dido's sample and Eminem's Stan. Mm-hmm. I just, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that there's something in there that's similar. I just feel like it's a great closing atmosphere around the record. I feel like this song kind of ties it in a very atmospheric, it's a very high-end track. It's not like weighty and broody.
Yeah.
It feels like it could just flow, and it's very light in nature.
It's another good mood track with a good flow, more good driving music. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I just sang a bunch of praises. I gotta drop my napalm real quick on the things I did not like. I did not like Spoil My Night with Swae Lee at all. I thought it was really lame and annoying. I did not like Rich and Sad. I found that song boring. I didn't hate Zach and Codeine. I'm undecided on Zach and Codeine. I'm undecided on that one. Other Side, like I said, kind of was a little bit of a miss for me. I don't like Stay. Same Bitches. Fuck G Easy, man. Fuck that guy.
Right.
And this is kind of like the one real rap song on the album, which is funny. But I don't like this song. And Ball For Me, I like Nicki Minaj's parts on the song. I like the cool sort of like glitzy Sheen beat of the song, but I think it's saved by Nicki, and I think this would actually work better as a Nicki Minaj song than a Post song. So those are my gripes with the record. Did you have any issues at all with your 9 out of 10?
I did because it's not a 10 out of 10. So there's definitely faults of the record. It's not perfect. And the biggest fault that I have are the features.
Yeah.
I feel like they really
your
almost
biggest
just...
fault. I want more posts. We didn't get enough Post Malone on this 18 song album, guys.
But I will totally agree with you on that Nicki track. She is definitely the best part of that entire
it's just not
record.
His style,
exactly.
Of, you
know? They kind of tried to make like, a post
that's
song.
That's the single Nicki should have led with.
It,
you know
exactly.
what I mean?
And it was obvious that Nicki's fan base rode for it, man. Like that shot to the top of the iTunes chart when the
they
record
probably
dropped.
Like it way better than Chun Li and Barbie Tang,
absolutely.
Which are just bar rap songs. You know?
Absolutely,
bars.
Because Nicki, like we know you got bars. We know. But at the end of this feature, she sings. Like, show us you still got those hooks. And she proves it on this song.
Definitely.
I think that was a great moment for her. The hook post, it just doesn't fit. Same with Same Bitches. I don't like that song at all.
Good.
I think Spoil My Night, Rich and Sad, and Zach and Codeine, like I said before, they kind of can blend together. But they're all really like 7 out of 10s for me. I don't hate them, but like if I'm just listening through the record, I'll totally, you know, easy to vibe to, but they're easy to kind of gloss over. There's nothing overtly special about them for me.
I gotta say, fucking album art. Like, this album art just came out of nowhere, dude. This color palette and the scheme of it, it's very like 90s nu metal.
Totally, with the barbed
wire. All those
wire.
Records that were coming out, like the late 90s, early 2000s, the whole color palette of it. Even like the title, Beer Bongs and Bentleys, this could totally have been a Limp Bizkit record. You know, there's probably a Limp Bizkit like EP that came out with that title, you know. Beer Bongs and Bentleys. It was just very interesting
to see him throw
it back to that era, you
right,
know. Where...
totally. Did you see Journey's tweet about one of their new shoes that had the yellow aspect of it, and they were like, who did it better, Under Oath or Post Malone? And then Under Oath quoted it, and then Post replied. Like, Post is out here.
Dude, he's about
shouting Under Oath, man. He's a fucking
about,
scene kid, and he's the one of the biggest artists
life.
In the world. That's so cool.
So listen, this album though, man, you know, my ultimate biggest problem is it's just too long. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get the 18 song thing. They're for trying to game the Spotify streaming game and get as many streams on as many songs as possible.
For sure.
But things like when you get to the point of including Candy Paint, which that song came out like fucking 2016, man. I know maybe it didn't technically come out in 2016, but it feels like it did. That just feels cheap at this point. And some of the songs that, you know, I didn't like, I felt like could have been trimmed. And, you know, my score on this album might come out to like an 8 out of 10. And if this record was trimmed down to maybe 11 songs, you know, I'm getting bumped up to like a high 8, you know, like getting closer to a 9 like you.
Okay.
But, you know, because taking the whole record into consideration with some of those songs, I think weigh it down. 18 songs and they're not all bangers. I come to an 8 out of 10. Still a great record, but I think, you know, if he had shortened it up, this could have been a mint classic if he shortened it up, you know, with no errors.
I do agree. I just think it's so impressive because I genuinely believe there's only 2 songs that aren't good on this record. And 16 out of 18, like, that's a fucking 9 out of 10 for me. I can listen to it, even with those songs, I can listen to it front to back, no problem. I don't have to skip a song. So
I mean, I don't know... this is obvious for me, but I like it way better than Stony.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Way better. It's not even close for me. Like, you know, the Stony had the songs like Congratulations, that sort of apathetic, you know, approach to the song delivery just never worked for me.
I liked the experimentation of Stony. There, those songs weren't necessarily made, at least all of them, weren't necessarily made to fit a certain mold. There was a lot of, you know, like, we don't have a song on this record like I Fall Apart. That song, if you get down to the instrumentation of that song, it's not your typical top 40 song at all. And I just feel like there's a lot of elements to that song, and there's a lot of elements that were throughout all of Stony and all the tracks that were kind of lost in getting to this super eye of the needle sheen kind of, you know, just super glossy Post Malone that we got on Beer Bongs and Bentleys, which is absolutely fantastic.
Which you could almost call it's like the new rock. You know, I mean, this really isn't a rap album. It's emo.
I mean,
it's rock It's pop. It's communicated through the language of hip hop. Yes, the tongue of hip hop, but it's not really a rap record. It's more
Not at
like
all.
this, the new, these are the new rock stars, man. Like, this is the new fucking rock. And
Yep.
it's almost like he's kind of doing now, in a way, like what we thought like Lil Peep would be doing if he was still around.
Absolutely.
Like, this is that
Absolutely.
musical lane, the total genre busting
Yep.
breakout.
Just melding absolutely everything together, and out came this 18-track record of all these different songs. And I mean, Lil Uzi Vert's fucking pissed, man. He's so mad, right? He's so, like, this was supposed to be him. But I ain't counting him
Give my
out.
man some time.
Yeah, I
He'll
ain't counting him
come
out
back
at
with
all.
something.
He could have, he still got hits in
Shouts
the
to
bank, I
Uzi.
think.
Love Uzi. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, welcome to the new rock star, man.
First week sales. So he's projected right now. First off, we should say he broke the Spotify streaming record. He got what, Tyler? 78 million streams in the first day?
Worldwide, and then did like 48 million in US alone, which broke J. Cole's record that he set last week, the week
Okay.
before.
So the projections are in, and I did my little math around it, and I kind of came in around and close to the projections, but he's looking like he's going to sell 460,000 copies first week, maybe 480,
I mean, I
which,
haven't seen an update yet of that. That was like Monday, Tuesday, so
that's
I'm
massive though. I mean,
it is.
that's the biggest first week sales of the year so far,
Since
right?
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Did Taylor come out this year, or was that
No,
end of last year?
I mean, this has been the biggest release since Reputation in the
Right, and that's
US.
crazy when you think about like what's came out,
Absolutely.
big
Like
artists have
he went up
dropped
against Justin Timberlake,
Justin Timberlake and
Eminem.
Eminem. Like, two of the biggest fucking celebrities on the planet,
I
and he's
mean,
gonna outsell them.
Eminem did
It's
what? 192,000 first week? Post is about
yeah.
to do just under 500.
What did Justin do? Like a hundred
That's a good
something?
question. I'm not.
Yeah.
He might have broken
Maybe 200?
200. He might have
Yeah.
broken low 200s. I'm not sure exactly on that number, but
But
I know it wasn't. It wasn't above 300.
I mean, we will see. He's gonna have a big first week, but we will see once Billboard, corrects this streaming boom, their new actions they're taking. We'll sort
Well,
of see what effect that has on album sales, because Post
dude.
is riding high on streaming here.
They're giving more leniency to artists who stream well. Like, it's
I thought
only
though
gonna
they were
widen
kind
the
of focused
gap.
it more on subscription. Like, they're considering the weight of subscriber streams versus free streams.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, so like Pandora, you got your radio outlets. Those streams are gonna cost
But I mean,
count
like
less.
for instance, if you listen to a Post Malone song on Spotify for
See,
free, I think that's gonna cost
the
less
way I
than.
understood it is that there's going to be like a middle tier, and those are going to be counted in between the, because Spotify is like a hybrid platform. On Pandora and radio outlets, you're not actively searching out the song to listen to. On like
We'll see
the
though.
new
I mean,
free
this album is
version.
going to be a, the old guard or the big pop stars. This is going to be a rallying cry for them to be like, fix this fucking streaming thing, because this guy should not be moving 460,000 units first
I
week.
mean, it's all, I don't see the issue with it. I really don't, like
It doesn't have, it's not necessarily an issue. It's just
that's
a
just what it
changing of
is. Like
tides.
the transition for listeners who don't
The
know
question is,
is
does it really represent that many albums? You know what I mean? That's the question.
right. And for the listeners who don't
And that's
know,
a hard one to answer.
1500 streams equals one album sold. So that
Yeah.
1500 streams on any given song or any given collection of songs on an album equals one unit sold. So, Post is gonna break into the 300 million stream first week, but I mean he might be on track to break 400 million. Regardless, when Drake drops his album, he's gonna shatter Post's record. So
Oh.
I think, these streaming numbers are just relevant of what's popular right now. Scene bands can't stream worse shit. That doesn't
Right.
mean that major label artists and hip hop artists that stream well are cheating or gaming. There are ways that they can game the system, like releasing 18 track albums so they could break records and shit like that. But I just think that the hype that certain artists have on streaming is just relevant of the times. Scene bands don't
Absolutely.
stream well because scene bands aren't relevant right
Well,
now.
not even comparing him to scene bands, but just to pop artists in general. There's still an argument to be made. Like, Taylor Swift can move 800,000, pure copies, like, still. And that's like, does this really stack up to that? It's tough, and it's something that's going to have to be sorted out by Billboard.
Yeah. I don't think it's as much of an issue as people make it out necessary. I there are issues in the system. There are certainly faults in the system.
It does. But... I mean, it's when you see the when you see XXX21, Lil Uzi Vert, and now we're going to see when you see these artists.
I mean,
and the top 10 on Billboard every week. It's kind of like, is this really reflective of what's happening? I don't know. I mean, maybe it is.
It's
not
relevant of longevity, man. Like, that is what the youth of America is listening to. This is they're just getting their share. Like, Taylor didn't have a hit off the last record, and she's not selling that. You know, she's like 22nd in the world on Spotify. She doesn't have the songs to compete with those artists now. I just think that's what it comes down to.
First week sales. Are you, you know, like, I came to around 530,000 off my own prediction, but once I saw 460, like, that just feels better to me. So I'm kind of in that area. Like, I think 460 to 480 first week sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a few days before the album dropped, when we started talking seriously about numbers, I said between 500 and 600.
I think you said between 5 and 7, yo.
I said between 5 and 600, you mentioned, and then I was like, maybe 700,000 yeah. Question mark. You know, yeah. I was thinking, I was being positive, but I'll still stick between 500 and 600,000.
Okay.
Obviously, it's not going to get to 700,000 just based on the forecasted predictions, but, you know.
You're aiming high. You think it's going to break past 500,000.
I mean, and it wouldn't be the first time that Billboard and forecasters have aimed low. Like, they aimed super low on the Blink album, and the Blink album ended up selling, like, 50,000 more than they forecasted, so.
I feel like everyone's been watching this one, though, very closely to see what it's going to do. But we'll see. This album's already going to be... certified platinum by the time it comes out, just based off the streaming success of Rockstar.
Yeah, I mean, it is platinum.
So it's going to be a big, big mover. But all right, Tyler, we got to move on finally to our next story, which is Parkway Drive. The band released third single, Pray. This is following The Void and Wishing Wells from their upcoming album, Reverence. I got to say, man, I was early on Parkway Drive. I was about this band, man. Like, I was about that Parkway life. Mm-hmm. Horizons and Killing with a Smile were my jam. Like, songs like Romance is Dead, Anasasis, Idols and Anchors, Boneyards, Carry On, those were my fucking jams. Those songs cooked, man. I even like, on my first, like, one of my first cell phones, like, it was a Razor flip phone, and I had my ringtone set to the breakdown of Romance is Dead, so cry me a river, you know?
So did my buddy, man.
Yeah,
like, so
that
many
was my
kids
ringtone for, like, a year. And the band just used to sound so huge. Like, I loved all that shit. And then Deep Blue came out, and I thought Deep Blue was okay. And I really liked the lead single, Sleepwalker. Like, that track just slays. But I just kind of fell off the band from there, and I sort of lost track. And I just haven't really been keeping up. That said, their new single, The Void, is at number 21 on rock radio. They have over 1 million Spotify listeners. For a metalcore band, they are enduring. Their last album, Ire, did 14,000 copies first week, which beat out the album before that, Atlas, which did 12,000 copies first week, which beat out Deep Blue, that did 10,000 copies first week. This band's doing really fun for a metalcore band.
I guess it kind of works out well, because I'm on the completely other side of the coin. I have never, ever been a Parkway Drive fan until Ire came out.
You son of a bitch.
Dude, I am the definition of a fairweather fan for this band. Oh, I just thought, like, those fucking 80s arena rock riffs on Ire were just so good. And they had their metalcore moments on that record, too. I don't understand what everyone's complaining about. I don't think they actually listened to the album. But I really enjoyed that record. I've never, like I said, I've just never been, they've never been my band. I have nothing against them in any way.
There was a time they were the band.
Oh, they were
the
band.
They were
the
metalcore band.
All of my buddies were like, dude, you're so fucking wrong about this band. Like, in high school, because I remember.
But it was a moment in time, and, like, Deep Blue came out, and it just kind of passed.
Yeah, so.
But they're still doing good. That's my point here. Like,
yeah. Oh,
they're
absolutely
doing really
good.
Like
you said, like, have they ever had rock radio play before?
No, and they have more Spotify listeners than August Burns Red.
Absolutely.
Way more. Right. You know, and they're going up. as like Augsburn's Red are going down and other metalcore bands are going down. They're right. going up in sales.
So in a weird way, Parkway Drive is one of the
yeah.
one of the last scene bands that is still growing.
So I gotta say, having not, you know, like I said, I fell off with Deep Blue. Having not revisited this band in a long time, I found this song like pretty hilarious and terrible at first. I first heard it. We're talking about Pray Now.
Yeah.
And then I kind of came a little more around. Like the chorus is okay and catchy. The verses are just a little goofy, man. Like those vocals mm-hmm. like take a while to kind of get used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to like a 6 out of 10. The song before that, the one at radio, The Void.
The Void.
It's just a terrible Five Finger Death Punch rip. So I mean, I fucking hate that song. So overall, like, that's where I am with Parkway. I don't like them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty disappointed with this song specifically, Prey, compared to Ire. This is just like Marilyn Manson meets arena rock riffs and melodies. Manson in the chorus, you got those big moments in the chorus and Manson in the verse. You Better Pray. In the breakdown, I just instantly think of the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus for whatever reason.
Oh no! The worst like sophomore album lead single ever.
Pretty much, man. Like that. Oh, I just flashbacks.
Do you remember how flashbacks. Disappointed? Like, you know, we're coming off Face Down, Your Guardian Angel. Like Red Jumpsuit got like a gold record, top 40 singles. You know, Face Down was the song of that summer. You know, everybody was all about Face Down.
But also and, False Pretense and Your Guardian yeah. Angel, like that but record it, had hits.
Oh yeah,
man.
They were yeah, but like Face Down, right. that song. Nonstop. Right. I mean, you couldn't escape it on the radio. They even made, remember they made the radio edit version where they took the screams out?
Oh,
the part
yeah,
where he's
dude.
Like, right now? Like, I mean, like, that was how poppin' the Screamo song was. They had to make a radio edit to cut the screams out. And I was all about it, you know?
Dude.
But we go from that, and everyone's waiting. Here comes the next Red Jumpsuit album. And then you get You Better Pray. Oof. It's like a throwback, like, cock rock fucking thing.
Such
oh
a
my God.
Bad. Capital fucking ruined that band, man.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Capital ruined a lot of bands. But
I
yeah,
mean, they ruined Seosin, that's for fucking sure.
Yeah, that was just one of those days in the scene emo world that I'll never forget when that fucking
like,
song
oh my
dropped.
God, what the like, hell what happened?
I remember too, I heard it on the radio, because back then radios like still, you know, still had premieres, and it was
right.
like the rock radio station, and they're like, we got the new Red Jumpsuit Apparatus coming up next, and I was like, are you kidding me?
So
like,
I,
this is gonna be huge, and then I hear it, and I'm like, this can't be the same
this
band.
This is terrible. And they've literally been terrible ever since.
There was that one good EP,
dude,
like, I Am the Enemy or something,
I think,
for that.
God,
that,
dude. I think you're giving that EP a little bit too much credit, because I revisited it not too long ago. Like, it's pretty, it's rough, man. Like, it's not
yeah,
as rough as the rest
rough,
of their
but,
shit.
Like, there
but,
were, hooks. There
yeah.
were hooks and there were some emo. It was more of a back to the, all right, we've gone way too long on Red Jumpsuit. You don't like the Parkway Drive song, do you, Tyler?
The chorus is the only redeemable factor, and I like a few riffs, so I'm at a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Let's move on to our next story, which is All Time Low. All Time Low released a new music video for Afterglow from the tragic failure of an album, Last Young Renegade. So, Tyler, this is literally the last song on the album. Like, there's no more singles to push from here. This is
right.
the last track. This is it. This is the last. We have to deal with this version of the band. And, I mean, they just sound so bad on this song, man.
So, like, I mean, it's a...
They're just like, hey, we are Walk the Moon. We are not All Time Low, you know?
It is a terrible rebrand, attempt at a repivot. I mean, the album's just atrocious. Like, I can't even put it into words. But I actually haven't seen the video, so can you describe
Look,
it to me in any it's way?
Got, it's got good production value. Like, it's well shot. Like, Alex has his bandana on. He's, like, kind of those Springsteen vibes. It's just, he's like, I'm Walk the Moon. You know, forget about All Time Low. Forget about Nothing Personal. Forget about So Wrong. We're this fucking uppity pop rock band now. And
hopefully
Pivot comes back next cycle.
Dude,
and there
are no pivots left. This was their second chance.
I mean,
it's fucking over.
You can't do this again, though, for the next record.
Oh, no, not at all. But, like, the next record, it won't matter. That's what it comes down to. But I was so interested to hear your take on an All-Time Low video in the spring of 2018, because if listeners want to go back to when All-Time Low released Dirty Laundry, Matt's little like dissertation he gave on that episode of that video and how All Time Low was going to launch into this dark pop future and everything was going to be great. And now fast forward a year later and we are here and All Time Low is officially over.
I still love Dirty Laundry. You know, I'll stand by that song. I'll go down with it. I know I'm not alone. Everybody screams it at shows. I think that song was good and it had a chance, but the rest of the record was hot trash. And yeah, you know, some of those early Note to Seed episodes really were just like the All Time Low wars, you know, like where we just
I was against it Fall pretty Out much Boy the whole way. Apart. Yeah.
I was only for Dirty Laundry. And then the next song came out. I was like, wait, what? You know, and it was like we were just kind of chronicling the downfall of that band until that record ultimately came out and flopped. But we can move on to our next story, Tyler. Water Parks singer Austin Knight joined 5 Seconds of Summer on stage to perform the band's My Chemical Romance ripoff, She's Kinda Hot. Did you get to see this video, Tyler?
I did. And does it matter?
A couple things here.
I just...
Seeing 5 Seconds of Summer play such a small room was pretty trippy.
I mean, sure. But, I mean, we talked about that. We knew they were gonna... That's what they were gonna be doing.
I know when the tour was announced, we talked about it, but it was just kind of sobering to see. Like, the band should, you know... Had they kept on track, they should have been playing amphitheaters, maybe arenas, you know? And they're back down to playing, you know, a theater that couldn't be any bigger than 2,000.
For sure. Does anyone actually care? Our water parks, didn't they blow their shot? Like,
that's the thing. It's sad that water parks, you know, did blow their shot and they're kind of already fading. But we like what Five Sauce are doing right now. You know, they're sort of rebranding. Sure. We're about it. Like, we're about this dark pop move that they're making.
Yeah, but I want Austin, the dark pop Austin that we did get on the Water Parks album on a live feature, you know? I didn't want Austin on the shitty pop punk last album that didn't go anywhere and ultimately flopped. I want him on... Just put him on fucking Youngbloods, man. Let that dude belt that fucking chorus out.
What's funny is the screaming was real when he got on stage. And what I wondered was, like, did the crowd actually know who Austin was? Or were they like, it's just some blue-haired dude who must be famous?
Oh, no. They probably thought he was a YouTuber or something,
dude,
man.
The screaming was so real, though, when he got on stage. All these Five Sauce fans really know who Water Parks are. Because if they do, that Water Parks record should have sold like crazy. But it didn't, you know, it flopped. And
I think we're getting to this proposal a long time ago, but like, it's time for Austin to just adopt a solo moniker and ride with it, man. Like, that's where we're at. Water Parks isn't gonna happen. It's just not there.
It's possible too, you know, with sort of, he's not happy with his label and there's a whole bunch of stuff, so you know, maybe that's what we get.
I mean,
you know,
the
maybe
Madden
the Madden Brothers take him out of the band,
right,
set him up with a major label and a pop deal, and maybe we can see something happen. But that is it for the show this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at noteseen@gmail.com and we will happily discuss them on the show. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate us on Apple Podcasts. Give us those 5 stars and we will love you. Until then, see you next week.